Oh, that's crispy. And we're ready to go. Welcome back. 2023. Yeah, I had to get a sip in. We're back. Man, we are Scott Manzi. We are Alex Jerko. Clay Rodderson joining us here. It's the Sports Bar Podcast, and it's been a while since we've convened on this couch and been able to talk
and
about
sports.
And
I'll throw sports. In a woo!
For good measure. For good measure.
Have to.
Oh, man. It has been, yeah, it's been too long since we've been in this place. Got a koozie being tossed in my lap. Man, we're out of practice. But the good news is, as you help me out here, we've got plenty to talk about. The last time we sat here and talked, we were still kind of in the throes of the NFL season. College football regular season had just ended. And now we've got a show where we're going to look at the NFL playoffs. We're going to look at what we said during college football season, some of the dumb stuff, some of the smart stuff, give ourselves some props. We're going to talk even, guess what, Alex? It's college basketball season. You may have just realized that this week, but yeah, it's college basketball season. So we're going to talk a little bit about that too.
I love it. I'm sitting here watching the game with you. We got K-State and Kansas in the background. I'm like, would you look at that? Duke's not even ranked. So everything's new to me. I'm like a kid just walking into a candy store. I'm
Rip Van Winkle. You just woke up after a long slumber.
I do feel like that. Everything's just brand new.
Well, it's good. And we're glad to have Clay on with us again. He joined us back after happier times for you, too, because the last time you were on here, it was to talk about your alma mater, Auburn, and their head coach being fired. So,
What they're going to do.
Yeah, or what they're going to do in regards to that. So it's good that we can get you on and maybe talk even a little about your basketball team riding one of the longest home winning streaks in the country.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, Clay's going to come up to the watering hole with us, the local Players Grill, and brainstorm with us. We got to hand him a mic. We know he can drink a beer. That's not the problem. So now we got him here to help us be wrong in some takes, maybe be right in a couple as well.
Let's start things off with the NFL playoffs. The hometown Jacksonville Jaguars have advanced. That's never happened while we've had this podcast. All 3 years we've had this podcast. Normally we're talking draft at this point if we're looking at the local team, and we're talking about all these other teams in the playoffs. Not only have the Jaguars made the playoffs, but they've advanced in the playoffs, moving on to the divisional round for the first time since 2017, drawing the Kansas City Chiefs on Saturday afternoon. First and foremost, Alex, I think you got to tell a little of the story of how you experienced this game on Saturday evening, the drama that was.
A lot of hype. So fired up for it. Unfortunately, in Tampa, though, instead of being in Jacksonville, I know we both were hoteling it, so you can share yours as well. But went to Tampa, visit my sister, all excited for the game. So much so, I've been ordering Jags clothes like a madman. Like every day I'm looking online like,
I've noticed all of a sudden you're like, I got this new polo. Yeah. Check out this quarter zip.
Got this quarter zip. Oh, got a sweater on the way, a little throwback on the way. Got everything coming. So definitely on the hype train, maybe the conductor, in fact, but for a Steeler.
Steeler, look at this guy. He's like, wow, Steelers didn't make it this
Steeler
year.
Jag? No.
It was always the Jags for me.
Yeah, always. Y'all know that about me. Yeah. I bleed teal. But so anyway, I do get excited. I mean, this town is so exciting when they're good. I want them to be great. I want them to be elite. It's so much more fun that way.
Amen.
And the national disrespect we get pisses me off because at the end of the day, I do live here. So anyway, in Tampa, first half, smoking a cigar, drinking a couple beers, all excited for the game. One pick, two pick, three pick. Next thing I know, it's about to be halftime. The kids were there, and I'm having to battle now with my wife if we're allowed to stay for the whole game. I don't really have a leg to stand on.
No.
Seeing that we were down at the time 27-0, and I was like, okay, fair enough. I think we're probably – I guess we can go. It's about to be halftime. If we go, we need to go now. And she's like, well, they're not coming back from this. I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. So we kind of lollygag around. Jags score a touchdown. And I'm like, okay, hold on. 27-7. And she's like, there's a little hope. And I was like, yeah, you're right. We probably need to get going. So by the time you pack up two kids, Keontae Johnson's at K-State.
Yeah, and he's killing it too. So. Oh, sorry. Maybe that was a bad choice of
words. I was about to say.
He's doing great.
I almost said it. I was like,
phrasing, as Archer would say.
So, so we pack up everything, and Clay knows this very well with two kids as well. But trying to pack up two kids is a pain in the ass and takes so much longer than I expect. So I'm like itching. I have the car heating up. It's freezing outside. We speed home as quick as we can. My phone's going crazy. from like CBS updates, maybe even text, but I'm driving, so I didn't look yet.
Wait, and so then, you're driving from Tampa to Jacksonville this morning?
No. Oh, sorry. Left that part out. We're at my sister's.
The hotel.
Just to the hotel.
Gotcha.
Just back to the hotel.
I was like, man, how fast did you speed to make it home by the end of the game?
There was no room at the inn at my sister's. We had to go squeeze into the hotel. So we get in there, get upstairs. I get the boys in bed. I turn it on. It's 30-20. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? I'm checking my phone, trying to catch up while also trying to watch the live action. Because I didn't know how it happened. It was mind blown. Then obviously sat up in bed the rest of the night and watched it. Had a hard time going to bed after that one. I was amped up.
Yeah, I'm with you. Clay, you were in a hotel too?
I was in the similar situation. We took the two boys to stay at Disney. We had some plans to just kind of hang out around the Disney area Saturday and do Legoland, which is actually in Lakeland. I had no idea until we got down there.
Even more of a drive.
So you stayed in Orlando.
Stayed in Orlando, drove.
Oh, no.
Hungover after the game Sunday morning to Lakeland, Florida.
This is my nightmare.
Lakeland was a Sunday event.
It was.
Oh, no.
It
was. That's tough.
Kids had fun regardless. But no, we hung around the Orlando area, Disney area. Had a hotel, got a good dinner, and I was like, "All right, let's." I've had a few beers at dinner. Let's get home. Let's get prepared for this game, and all the preparation, getting the kids to bed. I'm kicked back, Miller Lite in hand, leftovers in the fridge for later to celebrate, and 27-0. So, honestly, the only thing I thought I sat there and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to keep pouring beers and I'm just going to eat these leftovers and I'm going to see what happens. And
so you did this. You brought the comeback to Jacksonville.
I feel like I nervously ate and drank the win, willed the win. So that's basically my Saturday night.
I had a couple of buddies that called it a night or left the stadium.
Yeah, I think it helped that I was nervously drinking because I kind of lost track of how bad we were playing.
Yeah.
And not to mention I was thankfully not tired. So which made it even worse when we won and I'm staying up till God, I don't know, 1:30 texting everybody.
Oh yeah.
Wishing I was in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
How much okay. 'Cause, by the way, I had an option for tickets, at least two.
So I dealt with the same exact thing. I had two options, one being in a box and then one in a box, and I'll tell you about it later. But the other option was just face value tickets that I was offered. And I'm like, oh my God, man. I could beat it right now.
None of the three of us were here for Jags' first home playoff game.
Y'all had a game this week?
Yeah, I was in Jacksonville, Alabama on Saturday and was on a bus ride home when the game kicked off and watched, had it up on the laptop. Basically, it got to 24-0, I think, is when our operations guy leaned over and he's like, what's the score? And I go, the game's over. And so I ended up...
I mean, it just...
It felt like that. I ended up like, I kept it up. I was like, I'll keep it up. I disconnected my headphones from the laptop and actually started listening to a podcast and like doing something else. I was like scrolling on my phone. I'm listening to the Nolcast talk about hiring Patrick Surtain as the DBs coach at Florida State.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm in this whole other mode and I'm kind of glancing over. I'm like, okay, wow. Okay. Drove down, got touchdown before the half. That's thank God. We're not going to lose. We're not going to get blanked.
Yeah.
You know, that was my,
we
first
may
thought.
Make it respectable.
We did not get shut out.
That was my thought too. Maybe we can go put some trash points, whatever you want to call them on the board.
I didn't even want it to be 62-7.
Maybe we can scare the shit out of him at the end of the game. So, Scott, sounds like you lost a little bit of faith, but, I mean, did you or you thought it was
so over? We have a fantasy group that's all Jaguar fans, and I'm never the positive one. Never. Looking back at probably drunken texts, I was one of two guys out of 12 that was saying, if anybody can do this, it's Peterson. And I really don't know if I actually believed it,
man.
But when we scored before the half, I said, look, and I said this too. I said, the Vikings did it against the Colts.
Yeah.
The Jags can do it now.
Part of me, I thought.
And I thought about that game.
Like, I guess comebacks
33-0, I believe.
You just feel like you never see comebacks, but then if someone reminds you, you're like, yeah, I guess that one did happen.
But
that
honestly,
probably won't happen now.
Until that touchdown, like Trevor got to the point where he was just like firing balls into like random space. Like he looked so far out of it.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So I saw him on the sideline. Obviously, the TV showed him. He didn't look rattled, though.
Ooh, I think he's a bad body language guy. So, not like a bad body language. Right. He's a guy who wears his mistakes publicly.
He did the sideways head after the second or third
pick.
But
he's walking around, like, saying words of encouragement.
Yeah, yeah. He's a positive guy. Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, that shows a good leader. He's like, hey, man, I'm screwing up big time, and I got us. Like, I know I messed up. It's okay. We're okay. Let's stay in it. Let's stay focused. It's me. It's on me.
But there was one where, like, Mike McCoy's trying to show him something on a tablet, and he's just like, he's just sitting there just, like, staring out into space. And I was like, he probably has no desire to see that play again.
First of all, shout out Asante Samuel Jr. Got to give our Noel.
Okay, so I texted you, Eric, in our group chat, and I go, too bad Asante Samuel Jr. never played this well in college. Never even sniffed that quality of play in college.
So
mediocre corner at best.
Scott, he played on a Willie Taggart team.
Still, never that good. And by the way, he wasn't that good in the second half either. So
no.
He came right back down to it.
He deserves to be in the pros. It's not like trash.
No, he's just like, he's not three picks. No.
And he's maybe not like a three pick a season guy.
Well, he only had, what, two all year until three all year.
No, two. He surpassed
his. And he had the refs on his side on a couple calls.
One was blatant PI. Yeah.
I disagree.
Marvin Jones,
are you talking about that one?
I'm talking about the fourth down.
The fourth down
where he grabbed Zay Jones at the top of the route. Hugged him. He just bear hugged him at the top of the 10-yard route.
It was only 7-0. The Jags were driving.
Right side of the sideline.
It was the first pick or the second pick. It was a fourth down. It was not a very good throw.
I'm not talking about a pick.
Yeah.
I'm talking about.
Oh, I don't. I agree with you on the PI. Yep. Yeah, I was fine with that.
And he couldn't turn to locate.
I thought they should have kept the flag down because they'd already missed like two other PIs to make up for it. But
refs were a little spotty. And what's funny, and I know we're bouncing around as far as like timeline of the game, but a lot of the national people were bitching about the Juwan Taylor false start. And I was like, two plays earlier, Evan Engram is up the seam wide open, getting held, harassed, and can't get to the ball, where otherwise he would have been wide open. Well, he still ended up being wide open, but he couldn't get to the ball, which you would think if he's not being held, he could have got to.
Yeah. By the way,
he scored at that point.
They don't. Everybody in the league does that at tackle, and they're saying that they got to address that or whatever, but like that's not like a new thing or just a Juwan Taylor.
I have noticed that in many NFL games.
Yeah.
Scott and I are a big part of my take, Barstool Sports guys, and they interviewed Decker, the offense tackle who plays for the Lions. I don't know if you caught this one. He said, I false start every single play. The key is making sure that I don't get caught because I have to try and get ahead of these guys because they're so fast.
So fast off the edge.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So,
and you see it all the time too, right? Like the Seahawks defense that basically like PI'd every play back when they were the Legion of Boom days. Honestly, I thought that's kind of what the Chargers defensive strategy was, like, we're just going to make as much contact in the secondary as possible and like dare these officials to call it. It was smart game plan because the refs weren't throwing any flags.
They figured it out early on. Yeah.
Yeah. It was as much of a roller coaster ride. Cause even thinking back to 2017, Jags won kind of a low scoring snoozer against the Bills. It never really felt like it was in doubt that Steelers game got up big and then just like kept like trading blows down the end. And then of course like led and then blew it late against the Patriots. Like we haven't seen, I don't know if the Jags have ever had a moment even remotely similar to what they did on Saturday night in the playoffs before.
I have two guys and two things I want to say. One, how big of just free agent signing can we acknowledge how huge Christian Kirk has been?
Engram.
And Engram's been great. But what about Roy Robertson Harris?
Yes,
he's great player. He's come alive to be an outstanding.
And he was there with Urban, too, I believe.
Was he there last year?
I think so.
Yeah. He's been here. Fadakasi is the guy they signed this year, and he's been a big piece of their run defense.
Yeah, you're right.
But Robertson Harris has been great.
He's been, he's erupted late, too. He was all over the field. He's making sideline to sideline plays. He's getting pressures. He played really well. But Christian Kirk, what a signing that was. And people were dogging how much money they spent on him. Like, he's not a number one. Not that he's a bad player. I don't think anyone thought that. But he did get a lot of money.
He got a lot of money. But, like, you know, it's who cares?
It's just money, right?
Yeah, well, look at the Giants on the other hand, right? Like, who they signed, what?
Galladay.
Slayton, right? Or
no, Galladay.
Oh, Kenny Galladay. Yeah.
Slayton's actually been pretty good.
All they've been doing is talking about how, like, hey, you know what? He's really giving a lot of effort in blocking.
Auburn. Oh, my God. Clay comes in. Oh, yeah, Slayton's hold on, Scott.
Slayton's pretty good. Slayton was drafted by the Giants. Slayton, I mean,
I'm not saying he's not good despite his big drop.
He's a number two or three, no doubt.
No, he's fine. It's just I feel that deep in my Florida State soul, if someone like Asante Samuel, I'm like, he's playing pretty well, actually, Scott.
Yeah.
And I'll use this as a card in his a bullet in my holster.
Hey,
while
Garrett Stidham to Darius Slayton.
Was that them?
Oh, yeah.
Most importantly, you talk about the national narrative and stuff, and honestly, a lot of the narrative has actually been anti-Chargers more than pro-Jaguars out of this one. But I don't know, I've just been excited hearing national people talking about the Jags, and like, it's like, hey, I like Doug Peterson, he's like a coach of the year candidate type guy. Like, Trevor is this like unicorn of, my God, he has these moments in which you're like, what is happening? And yet he also has moments in which you're like, this guy is incredible, because like he can play you in and out of a game simultaneously. It's amazing. And the
still
Jags,
young.
Yeah. And the Jags have not really had any. Yeah. It's year two and he's made a lot of leaps this year. So, you know, that's where, if it all comes to an end on Saturday, this team, it was funny. I texted my college friends group chat right around mid second quarter. And I go, hey, I'm just getting ahead of the narrative now. Jags were a year ahead of schedule. Like they weren't even supposed to be. Like,
yeah. That's always a great cop-out, but it's true. It is true.
It is true.
Scott, I mean, Clay, what'd you just say about the hiring of Doug Peterson a minute ago before we recorded?
I honestly did not realize how good of a hire it really was. I don't know that any of us did.
And you said, thank God we didn't hire Leftwich.
That's right.
Look how that looks right now in Tampa.
And I'll say this about Peterson. I think, you know, people talk about Trevor and his demeanor and how he kind of stays cool. I think a lot of that comes from Peterson. And the reason I say that, you've heard Christian Kirk, Evan Engram, a lot of these guys that came in this year, and they talk about how Peterson has that level head and he doesn't change. So, I mean, there's a lot to be said about that.
How cool is it that the Philly connection is still so strong?
Yeah.
Philly players. I saw Jason Kelsey, the starting center for the Eagles.
They love him.
All pro. He's like, look at Dougie P coming back. And, you know, like, always knew Dougie P would. That speaks volumes.
Well, it just goes to show that Carson Wentz was the problem.
Carson Wentz was. And look what he's done in Washington. Yeah. He's a cancer.
Yeah.
I don't know what his deal is, because he doesn't like portray anything that you think is cancerous, but he must be the worst. That guy must suck.
Yeah, his personality just must be pretty brutal.
He must suck.
Yeah.
He's probably just people from North Dakota. Like, yeah, he's probably nice, but it's just like, yeah.
Well, there goes our North Dakota demographic on the show.
I don't know anyone there, so I figured I'd just fire a shot. Yeah. Why not? If anyone's from there, I'm welcome to meet
you. Can I pose a question? Scott, you mentioned how the media was talking about the Chargers and how bad they were in that game. I also remember talking to the group of guys I was talking with during the game, and I remember mentioning this deficit is only going to make the demise of the Chargers coach even better. And it actually happened, and now here we are. Is he in trouble?
It doesn't seem like it at this point. If they fired the offensive coordinator and they fired the QB's coach today, like, there is going to be heads rolling. It's a matter of who. There's a guy named Daniel Popper who works at The Athletic. He was actually the Jaguars athletic reporter for the 1 year that the Jaguars had an athletic reporter. And then he took the Chargers job, and I still follow him on Twitter because I followed him when he was the Jags guy. And I think he's really good. And it was interesting, like, seeing on my timeline, like, all these Jags people, and then I'm getting the Chargers perspective on the other side of that. And he wrote an unbelievable article kind of breaking down what went wrong. And like, Staley coming in and acknowledging like chargering is a thing, and like they did the black cleats to try and emulate the Bulls. And
yeah,
there
I saw
was,
that. Yeah.
And there was this whole like sense of we're going to change things, but then there wasn't really a whole lot of actual change. But I think what they're the Chargers, well, number one, the owners are cheap. And number two, they don't traditionally like fire coaches all that quickly. And he's only in his second year, and he's a young guy. Like, he got him to the playoffs. Yeah, they blew a game in the playoffs, but in pretty embarrassing fashion. But is this like a pull the plug type embarrassment, or like hey, let's see what happens next? Because it seems like the players are still all pretty bought into him. They were standing up for him and stuff like that. If he had lost the locker room, I'd say, yeah, he's got to go.
I just think there's two sides to that coin. One of them is it a pull the plug moment? I don't know, man. You did blow a playoff lead 27-0, and that roster on paper looks like a championship roster. Seriously. I mean, they're hurt by injuries, no doubt. But everyone is. It's the NFL. You play an 18-week season these days, and that doesn't count preseason. So there's a lot, right? 17? No. 18.
Well, it's 18 regular season weeks, 17 games.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, there is so much football to be played. Injuries are going to happen. You can't use it as an excuse. I'd be livid if that was my coach. I'd feel like we're in purgatory. Well, the other side of that is last year, people liked him.
Yeah.
But I think back to last year, they were playing the Raiders basically as a play-in game and, you know, made a questionable decision.
I mean,
he got a pass. He got a pass.
Right.
Right.
You get a pass year one because it's like, well, year one.
Well, to the other side of that equation, Doug Peterson, a guy who won a Super Bowl in his second year as a head coach, probably didn't handle things all that great. The next couple of years after that, gets fired, spends a year outside of football, watching, resetting himself, probably learning a lot from his first experience. And I think you've seen examples of things that he's probably taken from his first experience doing it. Like, you have to get experience on the job. If Brandon Staley had Brandon Staley to me is still a better coach than Josh McDaniels. There's a longer example of poor performance, and he didn't have a Nathaniel Hackett type, misunderstanding of how to do anything as a head coach. Like he's had success. It's not the level that people thought that he would perhaps, but he's had success.
I mean, okay, I put him on the level of like a Cliff Kingsbury, though.
Well, next year, that's why next year's a big year.
And Kingsbury just got fired.
They
got
to go back to the playoffs. You can't fall off and not make the playoffs next year because you're unquestionably the second best team in the division.
Their roster's just so loaded. I feel like this is a missed opportunity of a window. Like, Herbert's still there. I'm cool with that. But, like, Derwin James was healthy for this one. Khalil Mack was, and he's
Bosa.
He's look at this Mack division.
Bosa.
This is a classic thing of like, okay, is it a missed opportunity for the Chargers who have to contend with the Chiefs twice a year every year in the battle for that division, who are obviously one of the best teams, if not the best team in the AFC every year? Or you look at the Jaguar situation where it's like, yeah, they got a bunch of young talent and stuff like that too. And you have to deal, but you don't have to deal with any like level, there's no Chiefs in the AFC South. Like that's, it's so much easier. I don't want to say it's so much easier for the Jaguars, but it is easier for a team like that than one that has to battle with one of the best teams in the NFL multiple times a year, who's also in a prime championship window. So,
well, while that is a fact,
and it's always harder when you have to go on the road because of that.
It's a very tough division. And we even talked about it before this season even started. We're like, I could see the Broncos winning. I could see the Chargers winning. I could see the Chiefs. Obviously, some of that fell out. I could see the Raiders. Remember, I picked the Raiders for what?
You did.
Were they like a sleeper of mine for something significant? Definitely to win the division. I said that they had a shot. I liked Derek Carr. I liked Devontae Adams. Whatever. It's a tough division. That's a tough, bad team to play. It's really nice in the AFC South when your bad team is the Colts this year.
The Texans. Good Lord,
basically, the whole division. Now.
You know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the whole division is pretty rough. But look at us now. Who would have thought, right?
I know.
As Paul Rudd would Paul say. Rudd. Who would have thought? Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Yeah, look at us. That's what it is.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and say there was one true upset. Like, okay, so the Chargers were favored over the Jags. But the Jags were the home team, and I think a lot of the people thought that the Jags had a really realistic chance of winning the game. The
Vegas thought so as well.
The Cowboys over the Bucs, not an upset, even though it was on the road.
No. Some people played that up.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Which I never believed it.
So the biggest quote-unquote upset was the Giants over the Vikings. And even though that one was a popular pick. So, like, going into the divisional round, who do we think has the best chance of springing an upset if you had to pick one?
Going into the divisional round?
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and take this one.
Yeah.
I'm borderline, and by borderline, I mean I'm scared to be judged because I don't want to be wrong. But you know what? I'll go all in. The Cowboys are going to beat San Fran.
Wow. I like that.
The Cowboys are going to beat them. Purdy is due to be Mr. Irrelevant. And it's not because I don't think his future's bright. I think he's shown enough now, and Kyle Shanahan's a good enough coach where I'm like, hey, man, that plays. That's as good as you're going to get out of Garoppolo as well. Might as well roll with him, especially while he's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a knock on the 49ers. It's more so I just think Purdy is going to hit a wall, and we almost saw it in the first half against the Seahawks where he didn't play well. The Cowboys, I know McCarthy has his questions. I know Dak has his questions, but going into Tampa and beating Tom Brady,
they look good
doesn't matter. Yeah, they did. Doesn't matter if they can find a damn kicker. Yeah,
except for the kicker.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter that they had a bad season and had questions here or there. And it doesn't matter that Tom Brady was on a Bucs team that was underperforming or you know, didn't have a lot of expectations. What matters is that it was Tom Brady, and Dak beat Tom Brady. I promise you that gave him confidence. There's no way it doesn't. I think that's my take. I really feel good about that. There's the upset that we're going to watch on what, Sunday? You get that one Sunday?
Yeah. I'll agree that Dak is a very like rhythm type guy.
Yeah.
Like when he's bad, he's usually bad for a couple games in a row. If he's good, he's usually good for a couple games in a row. And so coming off that performance on Monday night.
And when you say good for a couple games in a row, there's been times in the past X amount of seasons he's been in the league where people will say he's a top five QB. Because he does have that ceiling. He plays really well sometimes. Look at the money he was paying.
Yeah, but the floor is not great either.
Yeah.
What do you think, Clay?
I mean, I like what Alex is on there. I think they keep it rolling, and I think they cover. I think it's a close game. I'm not gonna call a win. That 49ers defense is nasty. I mean, and they're gonna get theirs in that game. I think they're gonna keep them somewhat under control. But as far as the games, I think honestly, I think the Bills showed that they are beatable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Cincy with Burrow, I
love that one too.
I like the attitude they play with. I know they barely got by
two
the Ravens,
baby.
But I'm going to call Cincy over the Bills. I like that one.
That's the one concern I have. Like, the Bengals got to play. Well, I guess both of those teams are kind of coming in off of, like, survival.
They
like,
are.
I think everybody thought that they would win, not easily, but would felt pretty good about them in those respective matchups. And yet they were both playing defense with under 3 minutes to play, trying to hold on to a small lead.
Yeah, which is not what anybody expected. I mean, I think, honestly, it kind of hit me when I heard Sam Hubbard's interview after the game with Cincy, that basically in what I just said, that I think Cincy goes in and wins that game. He said, we play better. And I've never thought about this. He said, we play better on the road. I like it's us against the world mentality. And I think in the NFL, that rings true, even maybe even more so than college, because it's not as hard to play on the road. For some reason, I don't see it as being as hard to play on the road.
Unless you're going to, unfortunately for the Jags, like Arrowhead or Seattle.
One of those deals where, like, college environments are.
Green Bay is probably a pain in the ass just because of the weather.
I was going to say, weather's a factor.
One thing,
but since he's used to the
cold. I think I'm with you on the Bengals. And I think I really might take that two-game parlay.
Wow.
Now that I'm thinking about this, here's the reason
I love
the Bengals. First of all, they're getting 5 right now. I mean, that's absurd. That's going to be a field goal game, unless I'm crazy, but which I am. But I think the biggest thing with Cincy is they just played Baltimore for the third time this year. Do you know how the AFC North plays every time the AFC North plays? It's tight. I don't care if Tyler Huntley's starting. They know each other very well. It doesn't matter if the Bengals are typically a team that will throw it 800 times per game. If they play an AFC North game, all of a sudden it's low scoring. That's just how it works. And I've been following the AFC North my whole life. So, well, since they became a thing.
You're probably too young for the old Central days.
No, I remember when the Jags and Steelers played full time. They switched over in like, what, 99?
2002.
Yeah. Come on, man. I was third grade. It's falling.
I was 8 years
he
old,
was a
man.
Fanatic.
I was into the Central. I had an AFC Central blog back then.
I knew it existed.
You're
3 years older than me. What do you mean?
I'm not saying I was like super locked into the Central. I just knew like the Jags played the Bengals every year.
If we were a company, I would email HR right now for agents. this shit will not fly. I'm all in on that take, Clay.
Can I interest you?
Hearing that, that makes me a little more in on that take.
Can I interest you in a third?
Please do.
So, a little in that same vein, a little bit of but a little different. The Giants are coming off of maybe the best game they played all year. And they're playing a team for the third time, a team that handled them in the regular season.
This feels good. This feels spicy.
I like it.
And you got the old rest versus rust conversation with a team that hasn't exactly been there before in the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, granted, Jalen Hurts probably used the opportunity to rest up and get a little healthier, which is going to go a long way toward helping the Eagles. But if it's a one-possession game with 5 minutes to play in the fourth, are you going to be surprised at all that Philly and New York is tight?
No. And like we just said.
That's what I'm saying.
Divisional opponents, you're right.
Daniel Jones turned in the best performance out of a quarterback in the playoffs last week.
I could not.
Let me say that one more time. Danny Dimes turned in the best performance out of a QB in the super wild card weekend round. Now, maybe Dak Prescott has an argument to be held up with that now after his Monday night, but Daniel Jones was like perfect. He threw for 300 yards and ran for 75 plus.
And Saquon was great.
Yeah.
Oh, Saquon was. I mean, that one burst.
You said it.
He was just patient behind a blocker at one point and then cut
and was gone.
It was full speed in a second.
You're talking about the sideline run?
Yeah, the sideline run.
It was scary.
I was like, whoa, I just forgot he had that because you know how we're such a fantasy football driven world these days. It's like he had a bad year last year because he was banged up coming off an injury. And then
I had him.
Yeah. And you had him, you cursed him. And you just kind of forget about guys sometimes. And then I was like, okay.
Yeah, he's good.
He plays.
He's good.
Well, and so are you?
You get a little Dayball. He's had a little time. He kind of knows what makes the Eagles. That guy can draw some stuff up, man.
Can you please tell me you're taking the Giants? Can we get you on that limb?
Are you in cover?
Yeah, what is the
situation?
Number?
Or are you
the number on
the
that
numbers
one?
Lower than think you think?
What is it? 5.5? 6.5?
We're gonna take a look here. NFL. We've got divisional round early line. 7.5.
Wow.
How about your biggest line this weekend is KC 8.5?
So, all right, can we run through them real quick? Just tell me what you do.
KC 8.5, Jags cover.
That's fair. I think we cover. We have to start.
It might be a backdoor.
We need to start quick.
I don't know how I feel about that game because I can't get out of my head the fact that it's Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce
to
cover them.
But let me say this. I think the fact that we already went there this year, I think it's a closer game.
It's not new.
Because of that.
And,
you know, I don't know if you remember, we got the onside kick to start that game.
Yeah, that's right.
Surprised them and didn't do anything with it.
Out of midfield.
Didn't do anything with it.
Yeah. Drove to the 40
and missed two or three field goals in that game.
You're right.
And we still only lost by, I don't know, 10, 11, something like
that. Jags are playing a lot better now than they were then.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I think Jags lose by 10 or win.
I don't
think they cover unless they win.
Okay.
I know that's outlandish, but if we're in it,
they're going to win it.
Yeah, I think they're going to win.
You're in it. They're gonna win.
Yeah.
Catch.
And it's
put that on a t-shirt, man.
And it's winning.
They've been learning to win.
Maybe we do. They're hey, young team growing. Okay.
I think the Giants cover 7.5.
I agree with it. I've actually in our pick'em, I took every team to cover. I think it's that weekend. The NFL, the parity is great, and I think it's going to show this weekend.
Well, the perfect example was this past weekend, right? Everybody walked into it and they were like, "Man, what a dud of a wild card weekend. These matchups aren't any good." Four of the five games came down to a one score game with less than 5 minutes to play. Can you ask for anything more than that?
No.
Obviously, things got a little out of hand in San Francisco, but it was tight for much of it.
That Dolphins-Bills game blew my mind.
And then the Monday night was a dud. But other than that, like you had, the Dolphins have the ball with a 4th-and-1 with two minutes to play.
You just said Monday night. I just
Skylar Thompson.
Skylar Thompson. I know. What?
Was he South Carolina?
No, Kansas State.
Oh, K-State. Yeah, That's right.
He was there. OT rate. Felt like he was there forever. And he beat Oklahoma a couple times or played him tight at least, so I knew him. But you just said Monday Night Football, and it made me want to say something. Thank God we have Buck and Aikman, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on Mondays.
Great.
It has
great
made point, yeah. Monday must-watch appointment TV for me. I used to not be able – it was unbearable.
It was horrible.
Boring. The guys sucked. I couldn't get – and for some reason, the games always suck, but I think the announcers made it almost unwatchable at that point. But
to your point on that, I tweeted this on Sunday evening. I felt like the discourse around announcers was like at a higher level than ever this year. But I said, I think it's honestly because all the booths got reconfigured this year. So the NBC booth got changed, the Fox booth got changed, except for the CBS booth. But and then of course the ESPN booth got changed. So 3 out of the 4 number one booths changed over this year. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like this was like the first major stage for all of those to be on display at the same time and more people than ever to be locked in. And number one, Mike Tirico won the weekend as far as best play-by-play guy. His call of the Hubbard,
phenomenal.
I was so fired up watching that and listening to him call it. He was so on top of it. It was so good. The energy was tremendous. The loser of the weekend is definitely the NBC booth that did the Jags game. Put everybody to sleep.
I don't have an issue with Al Michaels. I know he's catching so much heat for that game.
What did he come out and say? Because he was so quiet at the end of that game.
Well,
was he trying to let the crowd?
The final call was there's a flag. Like that was it. And I was like, yeah, okay, I get there's a flag, but like you can still show some emotion. You have to know that the flag is on the defense in that situation. The play happened.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. The play, sure.
He had another moment earlier in the game after the Bosa penalty where they moved the ball down to the 1, and he couldn't figure out what was happening. He was like, what are they doing? And they're like, and Tony Dungy's like, Dungy, to be fair to Dungy, that's not his. He's fine in the studio. I think he's a very thoughtful guy.
Terrible.
He provides that stuff. But he just doesn't have any energy.
Have
for
you
the
watched
poop.
Notre Dame?
Work.
I was more surprised at Michael, how bad Michaels was versus Dungy. Dungy is what he is.
But he was saying, like, what are they doing? But this can't be a 2-point. And Tony Dungy's like, they're going for 2. And he's like, well, it can't be a 2-point try. It's at the 1-yard line. And it just froze for a couple of moments. And I'm like, oh my God, they must be in the truck being like, ow, there was a penalty. Did you forget about that?
So my thing, I'm a prisoner of the fact that he is my childhood.
He's a great voice.
No, and his voice.
I thought at the beginning of the game, he was good. I thought he
just
was better than normal.
It
but.
Felt like a big time game hearing his voice, and I was excited about it. So I didn't have an issue with it in the moment.
I just thought
I had an issue with Dungy.
The comeback was happening, sleeping. And those guys were like, they were narrating like it was golf. And there's just a bad combo. It was a bad combo more than anything else.
Yeah, they can't ever do it again.
No.
I don't know if they are willing to not do it again. Okay.
Greg Olsen, though, by the way.
He's awesome.
He's great.
Yeah.
I've liked him all season.
And they're going to.
I'm very surprised at how good he is, too.
And talk about a guy who's both entertaining.
Right.
He's like a good mix between Romo and Aikman. And that Aikman is great, but he can be too dry at times.
Yeah.
And Romo is just all over the place.
Yeah.
So
Scott, yes.
No, he, king of word salad. He says so much without saying anything anymore. Just like he just rambles about stuff. It's like he doesn't know what to talk about.
I didn't like him that year that everyone was drooling over him, but he doesn't. It's because of he's so theatrical, it drives me a little bit crazy.
It's just a little much.
It's not the fact that he was guessing plays. I thought that was cool.
No, it was fine.
The first year he was, I was like, dang, that is cool.
He did call a lot of plays.
I was like, I guess he's good. But I didn't like
But
he was a little bit annoying just because of the all that stuff.
Yeah. It does feel like Nance is always kind of pulling him back.
Pulling him back in.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Nance is that's a pro though.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's good. All right, so we just did Giants. We just did Jags.
All right.
How about the Bengals playing the Bills in Buffalo? We already talked about this, but we know where we are on this. Bills minus -5. I'm taking Bengals all day. I know you're probably taking the 5 points all day.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking the points.
That's
for sure.
Field goal game. What about you? You think Bengals
I think Bills cover.
Do you?
I think they win by a touchdown.
Do you really? Yep. Okay.
I can see it being like Bengals have the ball down a touchdown and then like the drive stalls or it's whatever. Just it just doesn't work. But
So it's a game.
I think it's competitive. I just think the Bills win by a touchdown, which isn't saying that it's not a great game. It's just that they cover.
Hey, they could win by 2 field goals and it covers.
True.
Yeah. All right.
And then the last one, that's honestly the hardest one, man.
Hey, this might be a little.
I mean, if you like the Cowboys, then you like the line. But
this might be a teaser pleaser weekend. I don't know if you guys ever mess around with teasing the lines up.
Yeah.
This is the weekend to do it. But yeah, Dallas Cowboys getting 3.5 in San Francisco. Y'all know where I stand on that one. Where are you?
I still like the Niners to cover. At some point, the Cowboys are going to turn back into the Cowboys.
History would say so.
Yeah, you know. History would say so. But honestly, I think it's going to be another tight game. I just see
defense, Scott. I mean, they do. They're well-rounded, more well-rounded than you may think.
I know you're down on the QB, but the other weapons, like he doesn't really have to do that much.
No, I like Purdy. I'm not anti-Purdy. I just feel like at some point you wouldn't say the Cowboys turn back to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
How about the clock striking midnight for Purdy?
True.
How many weeks has it been where we're like this guy?
I took the Cowboys to cover 4.5. Now, has it gone down to 3.5? Is that where it's at?
Right now.
Okay. I took him at four,
so I'm just reading current. You know, I got insider trading links. Yeah. So.
I did take him to cover 4.5. But, I don't know if I'm as much on the Purdy losing his magic. I think I'm more on the lines of I think Dak and the offense have it rolling. And I think they can keep up somewhat.
You said earlier the 49ers have a great defense.
They do.
And you're right. I mean,
I'm messing with you.
Yeah. I did. Maybe I did say it like that. No, but what you said earlier, I 100% agree with. Their D line's awesome. They're fun to watch. I love Greenlaw at linebacker. He's such an underrated, maybe not underrated, but I feel like he's not a household name for.
No, yes, yeah. No, it's valid. Yeah,
but
they have the less angry Bosa
player. The less angry Bosa. Good for you. I like their team a lot, and their colors are beautiful, aren't they, Clay?
Well,
almost like garnet and gold, if you ask me.
Yeah, dude, but they're going
to
be a better.
It leaves a lot to be desired.
Than that Sunday game, it's going to feel it. It's going to be like the catch. It's going to be like 1987, a young Schwamm in the stands.
When I was little, I had a card that was Steve Young, and it was a rainy game, and he was playing in this baseball. I mean, I'm sorry, this
candlestick
football
back
card.
Then,
but, yeah, no. And he was playing the Cowboys.
That feels like a Cowboys traditional face. Matchup. Niners Cowboys. You could say 80s or 90s tradition. Like that is right in there.
It's awesome.
You know, Fox is salivating that one.
Oh, that's the reason why it's playing.
That defense, yes, the defense is awesome. And I think that could cause a problem for Dak if it comes to that type of game, but I'm not so sure it's going to be high scoring.
Dallas has a good defense.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Dallas's defense is good. Dexter Lawrence. And then obviously Micah Parsons, the over under is set at 46.
Wow.
I mean,
that's probably, if you were to check all the games, I bet that's the lowest over under for the whole weekend.
Yeah, 48-53. Lowest. And I think that's right. I was just going to say, I feel like it's a defensive battle. Although both offenses have tons of playmakers, Tony Pollard can hit from anywhere. You have CeeDee Lamb can hit from anywhere. Zeke is a okay running back these days. And then on the flip side, McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, they're loaded with Ayuk, loaded with weapons.
It's the sexiest matchup of the weekend.
It's awesome. I can't wait.
Yep. 100%.
I can't wait. So I'm on the Cowboys there. You're on the Cowboys. Scotty, you're on the Niners.
Yeah, so I've got the underdogs covering on Saturday and the favorites covering on Sunday.
Shall we keep track of this?
Yeah, why not? Okay. I can write it down.
All right, we'll do that. I mean, we'll remember what we had. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's do that. We'll see you next week.
You're back. It's the underdog weekend for me.
Tell your wife you're accidentally a part of this now. We'll see you next week.
So
we'll figure it out. She'll just probably have to eat out every Wednesday with her friends. So
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Or whichever night we're not recording.
Not sure. I'll call in Domino's for you.
That's right.
So, Alex, who do you have then?
For the whole weekend?
Yeah.
The slate. I have the Bengals. I have the Cowboys. Golly, I want to take the Jags.
You said it, 10 points.
I know.
You said
it. I just feel like if they don't win, it's not going to be like a 3-point game. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I do think they can win. That's the problem. I don't know which way I see it. Give me KC. Golly.
And the Eagles.
And then I think Giants cover 7. Giants cover? I think it's a 7-point game.
Yeah. All right. What do you got, Clay?
It may be backdoor, but it's me.
I'm underdog covering every game.
Underdogs, nice. Yep. All right. Well, we got
it's,
it down.
It's parity. And it's about the parity.
Dog? I got dogs on Saturday, favorites on Sunday.
Yeah. You got 49ers and okay.
John Shambi, his hair's not as red as normal. Maybe his glasses making it look less red.
He's ginormous. Who is he?
Boog Shambi?
Yeah. He's a great baseball announcer.
Yeah, he's great. Great voice. Yeah, he's a big guy though. Yeah. Hey, can we run through some of these overreactions we had during college football season here? Look back
college
on the season
football?
That was. Yeah. Since it's been a while.
Are we done with the pros? I wanted to
We're
ask
done with
you
the pros.
About.
What do you want to do?
Can I say something about coaching?
Yeah.
The coaching search.
Yeah.
All I want to say is super quick. If you're a Michigan fan, how fed up are you about Jim Harbaugh?
Oh, it's a good segue. College, NFL.
Constantly interviewing. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. See, he's a pro. Yeah. He's a pro. I just drink
Pro's
beer.
Pro.
And, I just drink beer and ask questions and let
I'm just
talk.
Here to have fun.
Yeah. I'm here for a good time. Jim Harbaugh interviewing every single year now. I know it's only been 2 years, but the flirtation is rumored every year. So I don't know what's at this point. I feel like he's going back at some point. So what's he holding Michigan, the Michigan man himself, holding him hostage? I would be livid. If I'd say good riddance. I'm done.
Put the old Florida State hat on. Do you remember Jimbo Fisher kind of being rumored for the LSU job every time it opened? A couple other jobs like
Auburn.
Do you remember how you felt?
He was rumored for.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was
previous OC. There.
You feel like your husband or wife or whatever is cheating on you, and you're trying to find out details,
or at least constantly talking in the other, like out to other people, like being flirty.
It feels dirty. Like I do remember, and I'm saying when my hat was on, I remember listening to Jeff Cameron when I was still in Tallahassee, and they were talking about him with one of the latest, I think it was Auburn, because Candy's from that area, something like that. And it's upsetting. Like, how do you recruit? Now you have all these obstacles. It's just a whole mess to overcome. You guys think it's a non-factor? I feel like y'all were just like, whatever, go blue.
No. I have a coworker that is a diehard go blue. She grew up in the Detroit area, didn't go there, but regardless, she breathed a sigh of relief today when I talked to her about that. And, you know, she's convinced he's 100% back, which that is the word.
What, for this year?
For this year.
Because what happened last year?
And from the Michigan perspective, she's also excited about the fact that they have a ton of players coming back. They have him coming back. But she voiced, obviously, the same feelings you're saying about a week ago. Now, is it official that he interviewed with Denver? Is that?
Oh, yeah. No, he was fielding calls. I mean, it's on the bottom line.
Yeah,
unless...
his agent. Yeah, but
okay.
Huh?
I don't think they're calling his cell phone, but
yeah, sure, his agent, whatever. Someone's
they're ringing his office. They're going on Blue.com,
but
yeah, they're like, oh, where's his email?
There was some There was some
ZipRecruiter. Yeah.
There was definitely trepidation and fear in her voice when she talked about him interviewing for NFL. And it's been 2 years running now. So I can.
But here's the other side of that. Like, and maybe it's just my own personal experience, like watching what happened with Jimbo Fisher and being like, oh, okay, like things are like he's being rumored or whatever. And then like things started like fall off, right? Like Michigan, like by his last season, Florida State went 500. Like Michigan went from making the playoff, he flirts, they made the playoff again as a higher seed. Won the Big Ten
with less expectations,
but they're like they're not falling off any. No. They're still very good.
Jimbo had three straight years, Scott, of LSU, Auburn, then LSU again.
Yeah,
not three.
That's
straight
what I'm
years.
Saying. Like,
there's a gap. Three,
and every year things got worse.
Yeah, but he didn't have NFL experience in the past, so it always felt like if he's going to go somewhere, it's going to be college.
Oh, it doesn't matter about the. This has nothing to do with the NFL. It's just like flirtation with other jobs in general. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
just having a coach that doesn't seem
the flirtation
happy where
felt
he's at.
Like, yeah. And this was me being ostrich and putting my head in the sand. At the time, I thought that it was just a rumor, and it was unconfirmed anywhere. Wasn't really a big deal. But it kept coming up, kept affecting recruiting, you name it. Now, Harbaugh's over here having everything confirmed on ESPN because the NFL, and they have better coverage, they have better sources, they leak stuff more. I mean,
honestly, I think he's fine with the news getting out there. I think he keeps leveraging it for raises and random things like that. That's what he did last year.
It just feels like maybe him losing to his brother in the Super Bowl may be something –
I'm not saying he's not
going to be able to solve until the right job comes open.
I'm not saying that he's not going to leave.
How's he going to get recruits?
It doesn't seem to be hurting him. Michigan's getting recruits.
I don't know.
They're not getting Bama recruits, but they're getting recruits.
I'd be pissed. I am pissed.
Hey, they can make the playoff again next year and lose again. No big deal.
That's what they'll do. That's what they'll do until
they're the new Notre Dame.
I don't know.
Could they get a receiver for once, please? What am I going to – Donovan Peoples-Jones is their best receiver they've had there.
They haven't had one in a while.
Mario
Manningham. Since Braylon Edwards.
That's
a name.
What a player.
Mario Manningham, Braylon Edwards, Chad Henne. I mean, besides that, have they had a receiver worth a damn?
Well, they haven't been any good.
It's Michigan.
Yeah, now they're good again. Yeah. So maybe they'll start getting receivers. But, like, I just have a hard time as a fan of a proud program like that who had – fallen on hard times for 15 years and now is nationally relevant on a yearly basis again and is competing for championships in a playoff that only four teams get to make, even if they are falling on their face in the playoff, they're still making it.
Yeah.
I'd have a hard time sitting there being like, I'd be frustrated. But at the end of the day, like your coworker, every time he says I'm coming back, I'm gonna be happy.
Well, he's also beaten Ohio State 2 years in a row. So that's,
yeah,
I mean,
like,
hey,
he's
coming
got a
from
lot
an Auburn fan.
He's got a lot of
great. I'll take beating Alabama 2 years in a row.
Yeah, no, you're right.
He's got a built-in.
And not to mention, this year they stomped him at their place. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot to be said.
Yeah,
about
you're
that.
Right. About
and
that.
He's a Michigan guy. So, I mean,
they're going to give him extra grace.
That's right.
Because of that. He's a Michigan man in one of those places that, you know, they want the Michigan man. The other thing.
And
like,
he's brought him back to glory.
If he leaves, like, grass ain't greener. Who are you going to get?
That's right.
Especially because of the way they hire. Weird.
Well, they almost, yeah. No, they're
almost as weird as Auburn.
I don't know them enough to know if they're culty. They feel a little culty.
It's a little.
We're a little proud.
I get a little concerned at the places that are like, oh, we got to have one of our own. It's like, what does that mean? Like, do you guys have like secret handshakes that nobody else can learn? Like, unless you've already been here? And a lot of times that ends up holding people back because you really limit the talent pool.
It hurt them for a while.
It did.
So, all right. Well, take me on to the college ranks then.
Yeah,
back
to
where Jim Harbaugh currently resides.
All right. So we did these overreactions for those that may listen to the program on a regular basis when we put out episodes on a regular basis. That is, we spend college football season on a weekly basis at the end of the week. We sit here on this couch and we say, based off of what just happened this past week, here's our overreaction statement of the week based off of what we just saw. So let's run through these and see see how we did. How does this go? So we did week one. So you might remember week one, maybe the Moose Prime overreaction time. Everybody's got one. My first one, Pac-12 doesn't get a team in the playoff for the sixth straight year. Ended up being right.
That was yours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How about that? Thank you, USC.
Thank you, Utah. Thank you,
Utah. Oh, yeah, Utah and USC.
Otherwise,
USC.
I would have been wrong there. But obviously, a bad opening weekend for the Pac-12 yet again. Alex said, Stetson Bennett is in the Heisman race. How about that?
Wow.
So, ended up with an invite to New York.
I remember you were like, really? I mean, he's on the best team. Not sure where he can lead him. I do remember saying that when I didn't realize it was week one, but I forget who they play. Oh, Oregon.
Oregon, yeah. Yeah, they stomped dimes. Him. Stomped yeah, him.
Dimes. In fact, so much so, hot take, he's got a role in the NFL.
Yeah.
That, as a backup. That, yeah, I take him all day.
I was listening to 10-10 on the way here. They were talking about that? he could be a – they think he could be a fourth to sixth rounder that, yeah, you know, goes to a good situation.
I wouldn't take him unless he's late because he's small.
Dude, Jake Fromm.
I mean, Brock Purdy.
Oh, Jake Fromm was not
– and Stetson Bennett is better than Jake Fromm.
Easily. Jake Fromm was just a high-level recruit.
She doesn't really make a whole lot of sense because, like, physically, what tools did he have? He spun the ball really cool when he dropped back in the back, you know, when he hit his drop, like, he was able to spin the football and it looked sweet. But, like, he didn't have a very strong arm. Pretty accurate, but nothing like sensational. Wasn't like an unbelievable athlete or anything. I don't know. Anyway,
Aaron Murray
was
a better quarterback. Better,
yeah.
Statistically, a very good quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, but and could move a little bit. Was probably the same size as Jake Fromm. Didn't have a shot in the NFL.
Yeah. Kind of crazy.
Tampa plant drove by it this week.
I think, you know, I don't know if you've ever talked about this with Stetson, but his legs
were great at
impressive. I mean, you don't think about it. Yeah. And then he runs and makes a guy miss, and he's in the end zone.
Yeah. He's not one of those, like,
he's not Lamar Jackson.
No.
Now people are like, well, yeah, but you know how when people see a little white boy, they're like, oh, yeah, no quicker than
he's fast. He's like Dan.
He's legitimately fast.
He's legitimately
running TCU defenders.
It's like, no, that's an athlete.
Hear me 100%. Out. He's Daniel Jones 2.0.
Not as big.
Not as big. Arm talent, not as much.
Good one for K-State over Kansas, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout out.
There he is, Keontae.
Sunflower State.
Averaging 18 points a game this year.
Good for him.
24 tonight.
Good for him. Glad to see he's doing
Looks good, man.
Purple.
Yeah. A little purple.
All right, week two. I said that Bryce Young becomes the first back-to-back Heisman winner since Archie Griffin. Didn't even get the invite. Still think he was one of the best players in college football this year when he was healthy, but
yeah,
didn't get the invite to New York.
The health.
Hurt him. And the health of the players around him, too.
True.
Yeah, but that I don't hate that take. Like, that's not still that's, looking back.
Take. No, it wasn't. It wasn't like a terrible.
He didn't have a bad year.
No, he's still pretty good.
Look what he
did. He wasn't the problem with Alabama this year. Put it that way.
Still could be the number one.
His bowl game, as we're watching a K-State basketball game, his bowl game. My God, I was like, this guy's dropping. Just
he was far from the problem. It was the other side of the football.
Yep.
You said Alabama doesn't make the national title game.
Let's go.
How about that? They didn't make the playoff.
Week two.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That was after the Texas game, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. Bama, even though I do wonder what would happen if they made it. Based on the egg that TCU laid, I will admit that. Whole nother conversation, though.
Week four, for some reason I forgot to write yours down, but I said that Carl Durrell would get fired. He ended up getting fired that week.
Colorado?
Yeah, nailed that one.
Yeah.
That one may have been too easy, honestly.
Neon Deion. Yeah, that's almost, I mean, it's not a hot take or overreaction. That's just, but you said it early. You're on it early.
You ready for a spicy one? That was definitely an overreaction here. Week five, I said Kansas would win the Big 12.
Wow.
That might take of the year for this this one so far.
They were on a roll at that time.
Spicy. That was spicy. Yeah. But Kansas, hey, you know what? They went to a bowl game and.
Right. That bowl game was one of the best.
Awesome. The best bowl game.
It was one of the best.
In my opinion.
It was awesome. Yeah. Man, that was crazy. How they rallied there and the OTs and golly, that was fun.
And then
the targeting.
The targeting at the end. Yeah.
Goodness. You, Alex, said that Clemson would make the playoff.
Ooh.
Close.
Yeah.
Sort of. By default.
They were in it late.
They were not a playoff team, as evidenced by their dud of a bowl game performance.
Yeah. No,
Tennessee was a fringe playoff team.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, but that was also Tennessee's backup QB. Not that he's going to be good next year, but I'll take that one.
They kind of hammered him.
Yeah. No, I'll take that. The only reason is because, and if I remember why I said it, is the ACC is so weak.
Yeah,
all you gotta do
is go through. Yeah.
Is just go through it. Just walk through it, and you're gonna have the brand and the helmet, and people are gonna let you in.
All right, one last one here.
It's kind of my goal next year.
After week 7,
as a null,
I said there would be a new playoff team this year.
Oh.
Got that with TCU.
Was that just like a shot in the dark? Did you have a team?
I just felt like I think at that point I was TCU was obviously undefeated at that point in time. I think I was sitting there observing the Kansas State Wildcats also being pretty darn good at that point in time. And then there was
Tennessee
was obviously at that. That may have been
right
around Bama,
prior to the injury for
Tennessee,
Malik Hooker.
That was the week after the that was the Tennessee Alabama week, because this next one gives it away. Alex said that Alabama would lose again,
and
they did.
2 weeks later,
LSU,
I believe,
at the end of the season.
Bama was easy to read for me this year.
Yeah. How about that? So we got more right than we got wrong.
If I would have had an overreaction, which I think I might have told Alex this offhand, I said Malik Hooker was a dark horse Heisman candidate. Hendon Hooker. Malik Hooker. That's a safety for
The Colts?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know where he is now.
I don't know where he's at now either, but he was drafted by the Colts. Yep.
Ohio State?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Hendon Hooker, after they torched LSU about halfway through the year, and then he got hurt. So
torched him too. I mean, it was
That ACL, man, non-contact too. That was such a bummer. Just wanting to watch
and
guys
game,
be great in a game they'd already lost.
And they get right.
Yeah.
And South Carolina, what in the hell, man? South Carolina, just Spencer Rattler. Like, what do you?
Speaking of good bowl games.
Yeah, great one.
That was a phenomenal one.
That game was great. Right here in Jacksonville.
Right here in Jacksonville, yeah.
That
was
next year, I know I've brought this up to y'all maybe multiple times with you, Scott. We got to go to a random game next year.
Yeah? Absolutely.
I don't care who it is. We got to. Let's look at the schedule. Make it happen. It's a work trip. Tell your wife. I'm telling my wife it's a work trip. Me and Clay.
Yeah,
working
hot on the road.
All right.
Yeah,
we're gonna pick a good destination.
But
let's
do it. I have to do it. I don't care if it's Enter Sandman VT.
I like Blacksburg.
Until VT's good, I don't.
Never been.
You been?
Well, no. I'm saying I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I've never been.
It's like Neyland is a bucket list for me. I know you said you've been.
I've been top. Three away games I've ever been to.
See, that's the thing. I know. Yeah. I remember you telling me you
Eric
went.
Berry.
You were there, Eric Berry.
Eric Berry.
Frame.
Yeah, they had a whole video for him.
Yeah,
I mean, he was a stud.
Oh yeah.
Yes, he was. Yeah, well, that was our overreaction revisiting that.
That's great. We did pretty good.
Shall we save some college basketball talk for? Because we're gonna have more time for college basketball.
Save me college basketball talk, but definitely I need a little update from you guys. So I'll do what I've been doing, aka not watching.
Okay, and we'll get back into it next week. Yeah.
Y'all can bring
I just give Scott some props with Xavier, though? 7-0 in the Big East.
7-0 in the Big East, yeah.
Number eight in the country.
Eighth in the country, and
only three losses are what? Duke, Gonzaga, and Indiana, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Close games.
Yeah, have won 11 straight. So,
Duke, Gonzaga, and Indiana?
Yeah.
Those are great losses.
And
if such a loss exists, those are great losses.
No bad losses at that point. Now, some of those teams aren't playing as good as they were back then, but
Xavier's
playing better than they were
in
back
Indiana.
Then,
so,
the tourney resume looks good.
Still looks good. Yeah, they may have a legitimate chance. I mentioned this to my friends from college the other day. The last time the Jaguars made the playoffs, Xavier won the Big East. So maybe we have a little synergy coming up
17,
this year with the X-Men. But they got a big one against Connecticut coming back up here soon. The rematch of the on the road too. So we'll see how that one goes. But hey, it's been a I think it's been a fun college basketball year. There's been a lot of interesting storylines, some new teams, some fresh faces, and as far as teams are concerned, and a lot of familiar faces as far as players are concerned, which has made it fun with a lot of these guys coming back and playing longer in the college ranks again now. But hey, it's setting up for a good end of that. We'll get into that a little bit over the course of the next couple of weeks too, as we continue to talk NFL playoffs and stuff, gearing up for the Super Bowl. Hopefully we'll be able to reconvene here in a week's time, but I do have to shout out for Alex here before we wrap up. We did World Cup picks back before the World Cup started. Yeah, a long time ago. And my pick of Italy obviously didn't go very well because Italy didn't make the World Cup.
Homer pick for you.
What an unbelievable pick. I picked a team that didn't even make the field.
That's a homer pick.
Yeah, it was. Well, they'd come off a good Euro performance. And you picked Argentina. How about that?
Never Alex, a doubt.
Knows ball.
Never, yeah. Knows ball.
Knows football.
Knows, who do I have in playing, or does it matter?
No, dude, we just picked players. We didn't even worry about
and,
that.
And what a final.
Oh, it was tremendous.
I mean, watched it. Right before the Cowboys Jaguars game, we were in the club watched the end of it.
It was on the same channel.
There were quite a few Jaguar fans huddled around watching the end of that game. That was great.
That was fun. That was fun. But anyway, I just had to give you a shout out.
Thank you. I forgot I picked that.
I write all these things down. I've got our NHL picks and our NBA picks, and we'll revisit.
Who do
those
I have at NHL? So I can.
You got to lock onto your Dallas Stars.
Yeah, that's right. That's
okay.
I think you did that pick when I was
the other day. Oh, Scotty Barnes. Let's go.
The Oilers, and I don't think they're doing very well this year. But
let's see. The Dallas? No. We'll look it up. We need to.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Seattle Kraken.
We got time. We got plenty of time. All right. Also, Turco trifecta. Should we give you your final?
Stars look good. 26-12.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Come on, baby. It's a wagon.
Right. Are we going to end with a random name?
Yeah, we will end with that.
Okay.
First, are you dropping your same random name?
No, I got a new one.
Alex, college football season officially over. Your Turco trifecta picks. You went 16-22-1 in regular picks. And
that's tough. That's close. Better than last year.
You went 10-4-1
on locks.
In locks, though. So
okay.
I had a nice season.
That'll make you.
I told y'all my number.
You went 24-40 in 2020. So.
That'll make you money.
24-40 last year.
Oh.
So this
year. You went 16-22 this year.
16-22. I mean, listen, I'll take that when your locks are that hot. Sometimes you just got to ride. It was a overall this season. I was up in my real life with everything. Those games were included, but you have enough that were up that it felt like a win. Felt like a great season. Felt like I had a good read.
All right. Let's give a name and get out of here. I have to shout out because I saw this from I can't change it from the one I saw pre-show, and that is that the Titans have hired a new GM, and it's Rand Carthon, who I said, oh, yeah, former Florida running back Rand Carthon. He looked at me like I was crazy, and I go, no, man. We're talking like 03 Florida football.
Borderline statement here. I was like, running back? A white running back? I don't remember him because I was like, oh, Rand Carthon, I just thought was a white
big
guy.
Black guy.
And then what I said?
Yeah, and then you said number 33. I was like, that's exactly right. Rand Carthon, Siatric Faison, Deshaun Winn were in the same backfield at one point.
21, Deshaun Winn.
That was the tail end of Spurrier and the beginning of Faison.
Number four?
Yeah.
Deshaun Winn, I think, was Jacksonville boy.
Okay. Jack's coaching there? I think he's still – is he coaching there right now? He was. He was head coach there.
Yeah.
I still be. All right, you guys, go.
I already told you mine, but Brandon Stokely, for some reason the other day, thinking about the Dallas Clark, Brandon Stokely days with Peyton Manning. And the reason I was on the phone with my buddy and I said, Pat Mahomes, yes, he lost Tyreek Hill, but he just makes guys good. You remember how Peyton Manning did it with those guys? And that's kind of how I feel these days. Like Valdez-Scantling, Hardman, Kadarius Toney. Put Kadarius Toney anywhere else.
Juju.
He's just a guy. Juju. He's just okay. But he makes these guys elite. Brandon Stokely, Dallas Clark, same thing Peyton Manning did back in the day.
I've got a running back from, I'm trying to remember the time frame of this, but it's an SEC running back. Went by the nickname of the Law Firm.
Oh, yeah. That one? Jarvis Green Elvis.
Jarvis Green Elvis.
Yeah.
Wow. What a good running back.
That had to be
Jarvis.
That had to be
Ellis.
Like 09, 10 in that range, I think.
Did he?
Was he in the league at that point?
I want to say Ole Miss. I want to say he played with Eli Manning.
Yeah, okay. So he may have been mid to late aughts.
05, 06. That'd be mid 2000s.
Yeah.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the law firm.
What a great running back name.
What a name, dude. You're right. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
And they played for the Pats.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, that's right. And he had a great
mean. You know who else was mean? Is these are two. I think this guy just died. Did Morris Monroney die?
I don't remember.
Do you remember when Minnesota had Lawrence Monroney
and Marion Barber III,
the Barbarian? He died.
Marion Barber.
I thought it was Maroney.
One of them is still alive.
Jeez, now we got.
Did they both play for the Cowboys?
No. Maroney played for the
Barber the third.
Pats.
Yeah, that's right.
They both played for the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
That's right. That's correct. At the same time.
Did you ever play NCAA with them back in the day? Oh, you just sum it up.
I don't know that I ever picked the Gophers.
They're both impact players. Oh, it was elite. They were the best.
Lawrence Maroney is still alive. He's 37.
Good.
So it was Barber.
Marion Barber still alive?
No.
I think he's the one that.
Yeah, I think he's.
Unfortunately, is no longer with us.
Yep, Marion Barber.
Yeah.
Death. Died June 1st.
Hmm.
Oh, heat stroke?
What?
He died of heat stroke.
Wow.
Could have sworn it was something else.
And when? What date?
June 1st of this past summer.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's hot at that point in time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Dang, that's crazy.
Taken too early. Jeez. Yeah, he was a.
Say the least. Young guy.
He was one of those guys where, like, early on in his career, ran pretty hard and then, like, got this reputation as, like, he's one of those super tough-nosed running backs. And then, like, but he was never going to get you the yard he needed him to get you.
Yeah.
But, hey.
I feel like he was a beast just.
But that he was. Heck of a running back duo.
For a 2 or 3 year span, he was.
Heck of a running back duo for those guys. Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it. Great to be back together, guys.
Yeah.
Clay, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
Clay, next week, same time, same place.
Same time.
Find a way to do this again.
Yeah, until then,
folks.
We'll do it.
Thanks for sticking along with us, the guys of the Sports Bar Podcast. Hey,
come on back on board.
Yeah.
We'll wrap you up through the NFL season.
And
maybe.
And then we'll revisit randomly during the course of the spring.
We'll pop in for sure during March Madness.
Heck yeah. That is a guarantee. A Sports Bar Podcast guarantee. For Alex and Clay, I'm Scott. This has been another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast.